Don't tell a soul, but the Senate is working in secret on a mysterious health care bill. We'll have this morning's update. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Might the country get some clarity soon on plans by Senate Republicans to repeal Obamacare? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his team are still keeping the legislation under wraps, but there's talk in Washington. They'll release it later this week, perhaps with a crucial Congressional Budget Office score on the costs of this on Monday and a Senate floor vote as soon as Tuesday, a week from today. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein from our health desk at WHYY has his eye to the Senate keyhole here.
Republican leadership has been clear all along. They want a vote in advance of the July 4th recess. The question, of course, is what senators will be voting on. A tension point between moderate and conservatives continues to be Medicaid, the program serving kids, people with disabilities, and low-income Americans. It appears, in an attempt at compromise, there's a provision in the Senate's bill that will phase out Obamacare's Medicaid expansion more slowly than the House version to appease moderates who come from states like Ohio and Nevada that have expanded the program. And for the conservatives, the bill would make even deeper cuts to the program than the House bill. Some people, doing back-of-the-envelope math, suggest this could mean cutting the Medicaid program by more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years. As of this morning, the big takeaway is that despite a lot of talk from Senate Republicans that they wanted a different bill than what passed the House in the spring, the Senate plan is looking pretty similar, at least based on what we're hearing.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Thank you. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is due in Congress today to talk budget. Proposed cuts are steep and many cuts target renewable energy. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
As governor of Texas, Rick Perry saw the state become the nation's leader in wind power. At his confirmation hearing in January, Perry said the U.S. Department of Energy would continue to support renewables. But his current budget calls for a 70% cut to the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy and major reductions in research and development. Jason Bordoff heads Columbia University's Center on Global Energy Policy.
There is a seeming disconnect between some of what he said in his confirmation hearings and in speeches he's given recently talking about the importance of the national labs and energy R&D and what we see in the budget, which makes large cuts in these areas.
He is between a rock and a hard place.
That's Joshua Rhodes at the University of Texas at Austin's Energy Institute. He says as governor, Perry was able to support renewables without hurting the oil and gas industry.
The way he was able to work with both sides in Texas is doesn't seem to be really translating that much over to Washington.
Where the White House has voiced strong support for fossil fuels, and cabinet members tend to follow the president's lead. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Crude oil is way down this morning in New York trading, down 2%, $43.30 a barrel. We're at the third anniversary here of the great oil bust. Some other numbers. The FTSE in London is up 10%. U.S. stock index futures are up. For instance, the NASDAQ future up 0.2%, but the S&P future little changed. The benchmark for interest rates is down this morning to 2.18%. Can I call it TYY for short? 10-year yield on the 10-year treasury, TYY, TYT. Okay, bad idea. Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. It is the final week of fundraising before our books close for the year. We're asking you to step up and help support us today so that we can continue the in-depth, independent economic coverage and innovation coverage and business coverage that you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month, really does count. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate. In France, the party of the new president, Emmanuel Macron, now controls more than 60% of the powerful lower house of parliament, with the main center-right opposition party stuck with just 20%. Now, that's a lot of clout, considering Macron's party was formed only a year ago. But there's a difference between political success and success. Here's Lucy Williamson, Paris correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
Second tour, confirmation.
2 months ago, this result would have stunned France. More than 60% of parliament won by a party that a year or so ago didn't even exist. The only surprise today is that they didn't win more. Proof of how much Mr. Macron and his party have already reshaped French politics, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe gave his reaction.
Vous avez donné une majorité.
You have given a clear majority to the president and the government. The majority of French people have preferred to choose hope over anger.
Never before has a French political party won such a stunning majority from scratch. Big enough for Mr. Macron to push forward with his bold and controversial Labour reforms. Big enough even for him to weather the inexperience and diversity of his new MPs. But with around 200 seats shared among a divided opposition, some are asking where real political pressure will come from. Didier Haute is a leader for one of France's biggest unions, Force Ouvrière.
He has nothing to put on the table but to say you are going to work more and you are going to be paid less. If he will succeed, it will be a fight. Who wins? I don't know. We'll see.
The sweeping victory of President Macron's party hides a more complex national mood. Turnout was just 43%, the lowest for decades. And while many voters wanted change, most did not pick Emmanuel Macron as their first choice for president. His new elected army has been drafted quickly. More than half have never served as politicians before. Having swept away the old political order, they're all under pressure to deliver something new.
The BBC's Paris correspondent Lucy Williamson. We're also covering criminal charges today against the former CEO of Barclays Bank and three other executives there, stemming from the last financial crisis. Britain's Serious Fraud Office alleges that John Varley and the others illegally structured money from the Gulf state of Qatar to keep the bank afloat during the 2008 meltdown. Rival banks needed bailouts. Barclays allegedly pulled this maneuver instead. Varley's lawyers have yet to comment. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Ben Tolliday. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.